I want to talk to you about power this morning. Power. And I don't have one scripture specifically. I'm going to be bouncing all over the place. I encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, grab one. Write these down. Go back to this. We're kind of going to be all over the place. But power. And you know what? I'm really excited about this word. I've been praying about it. I feel like this is what we're supposed to do. On Wednesday, Miguel and I went to a conference, and I walked away shook up. And, you know, I've been walking with the Lord, and I know the Lord, but every once in a while, you realize you're swimming, and you realize that there's deeper waters, you know, and just that there's more, that God has more. And you feel like you know this much, and all of a sudden, God goes, and there's more, you know, it's just, so all week I've been like, man. But these aren't things that you can do. These aren't things that you can, you know, do three things and boom, you're there. Like, these are spiritual things. These are God things. And you need to know that in the kingdom of God, there's some things only God can do. You know, like, it's not a matter of doing certain things. It's God has to take you there. So I'm asking that as we jump into this, that this isn't just a Sunday sermon and be like, oh yeah, that's good thoughts. But this is something that I'm praying that God would give me understanding, revelation, that it would get in here for me, but also for us as a church, that we would know this, not just about this, but at the core of who we are, that we would know this. Because, beloved, this is what is going to set us apart as the people of God in this society that we're in. Power. Power. All right, let's close. I mean, there we go. Amen. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to dive in. God, I'm asking in Jesus' name for power to speak this, power to hear this, power to know this. God, I thank you that you are real, that you are the truth, that you are the way, that you are the life. No one comes to the Father but through you. God, we are your people, and we need you to do what you're calling us to do, to be who we are calling us to be. And God, we love it. There's nothing finer than being a follower of Jesus Christ. So God, glorify your name this morning. Help me to say this. Help us to hear this. And God, I'm asking for the fullness of this, that this wouldn't be a bump in the road, but Lord, that this would chart our course for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So one thing I heard is this, and this was at the conference. It says that churches that don't move in power will be irrelevant to the next generation apart from Pharisees. I'm going to say that again and explain that. Churches that don't move in power will be irrelevant to the next generation apart from Pharisees. And what we're talking about is that as a society, there's this need, there's kind of like, show me, you know? Okay, you believe this, I believe this, we're all good, whatever. What is going to set the church apart is power. And beloved, this is what has always set the church apart, is power. It's not just a group of people who think a certain way. See, we're the people of God. You need to understand that God, the one who spoke the universe into existence, has a people, and we are them. We're God's people. We belong to him. We're in his family. So God, all-powerful God, we're in his family. So just as God is all-powerful, he has given us power to do the things that he's calling us to do. And what we're speaking of at the conference was that if we don't move in power and come back to first things, see, these aren't new things. These are first things. This is coming back again, centering ourselves to God's intent for us as the people of God. It says that we'll be irrelevant to this generation. We'll have nothing to offer them. The only place we'll be relevant to is Pharisees. And Pharisees were religious people who were satisfied with doing religious things only. And I don't know about you, but I didn't sign up for that. I don't want to go through the motions. I want the real deal. What about you? You know, like, there are millions of people who are content with going through the motions. But, beloved, you need to know that those people have no power. The living Savior is not alive and well and going in through the motions. Like, there are people who have forgotten this. And, beloved, I want to call us back again to this. This isn't new truth. But, beloved, there's deeper waters to go into. So, power. You see, we belong to a spiritual kingdom. The scripture talks again and again about the kingdom of God. And it's all throughout the scripture. Jesus, when he started his ministry, said, repent, turn your life around, turn away from the direction you're going, believe in Christ. The kingdom of God is coming. It's at hand. And what does a kingdom have? The kingdom has a king. That's what we're talking about, King Jesus, when we're worshiping. A kingdom has a king. And we are in the kingdom of God. We're his people. And where does the king rule? In the hearts and minds of his people. So, beloved, this is a spiritual kingdom. I've heard it says that we are not physical beings with a soul. We are spiritual beings that have a body. You know, that's who we are. This is a spiritual kingdom. And we are called to spiritual things. This, what we see, this will end someday. But what is spiritual will go on. So this is a spiritual kingdom and this is a supernatural kingdom. You need to know that word supernatural is not something that we are afraid of as people of God. God created the whole universe out of nothing. Sounds supernatural, right? You know, like Jesus died and the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. That's supernatural. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. You were a slave to sin. But when you confessed your sin, when you came to faith, when God opened your blind eyes to see the truth, and you believed and you received it, do you know what? You came to life. That's supernatural. We live in a supernatural kingdom. And beloved, this is all about power. It's all about power. This spiritual journey is all about the victory that Jesus won on the cross. I love Colossians 2:15. It's talking about Jesus, and he says that he disarmed the rulers and authorities. He's talking about spiritual rulers and authorities. He disarmed them and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. Isn't that awesome? It's Jesus. This is Jesus, King Jesus. Powerful King Jesus, in his display of power, disarmed the rulers and authorities and shamed them. Do you know what that was? That was a move of power. King Jesus. Satan thought that he had him down, dead, buried, and King Jesus rose from the dead, disarmed the power of hell, disarmed the power of sin, and shamed them publicly. It was all about power. All about power. Jesus, the name above all names. And we're in him. Like, that's the family we're a part of. It's unbelievable. It's all about power. You know, there's so many ideas of what Jesus looks like. There's pictures of Jesus. And he always looks so gentle. Like, he shops at, you know, Bath and Body Works. You know, like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, he's soft and gentle. And, beloved, like, Jesus is gentle, but he is also called the Lion of Judah. And when people saw his glorified form, they would fall over as dead because he was so majestic and so powerful. And it was so overwhelming. See, our Jesus is powerful, you know? And beloved, when we are in him, we're part of that family. We have power. We're not these little wimpy things. And beloved, we live in Sonoma County, and yeah, there's more of them than there are with us. But you need to know this, like, we're with him. We're with him. Where all the power is, where all the glory is, where all the honor is, we're with him. We don't have to be afraid of anything. We're God's people. The King of Kings is our daddy. It's unbelievable. This power that we have in Christ. I love it. Another verse that's really kind of key in all this is 1 Corinthians 4. Paul is talking to this church in Corinth that has gotten all these things messed up. And he's really redirecting them. I was reading through 1 Corinthians and how many times power shows up. I think it's 19 times in the whole book. Power, 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 power. And Paul is saying to them, he said, I will come to you soon if the Lord will. So if God makes a way for me to come back, I will. And I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but of their power. So there's all these people in Corinth who are talking, saying all these things. And Paul says, if God allows me to go back, do you know what I'm going to see? I'm not going to see what they're talking about. I'm going to see what power they have. Because Paul says, for the kingdom of God does not consist of talk, but of power. So this kingdom that we're in is not about talking. It's not about ideas. It's not about we say the right things. The kingdom of God is a matter of power. Do you believe that? This is unbelievable. So Paul's saying, when I come back, these people who are spouting off all these lies, it doesn't matter what they say. Is there any power there? Because Paul says, when I show up, you know what I'm coming with? Some power. Given to me by God. You know, this isn't like we're powerful. Jesus is powerful. So the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's about power. Amazing. You know, a man named Augustine, I don't know if you've heard of him or not, he said this, there are three things I would have liked to have seen. One is Jesus in the flesh. Two, he said, Imperial Rome in its splendor. And three, Paul preaching. Is that interesting? I would love to see Jesus in the flesh. I'd love to see Rome in its splendor. And I'd love to see Paul preaching. The Apostle Paul, the one who wrote the majority of the New Testament, that we have a lot of the epistles. He said, I would love to see Paul preach. And I was thinking about that. I was like, he has a point. Because this is how Paul speaks of how he preaches. These are big shoes for me as a pastor. So this isn't like Paul has this great formula for preaching. He does three points that are just amazing. This is how Paul preaches. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And he said, my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Isn't that awesome? Paul's saying, like, I didn't come and put all these wise things together that made you go, ooh, ah. He said, when I was preaching to you, when I spoke to you as a church, it was a demonstration of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit that was in Paul was displaying who he was through Paul. So it's a display of power through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's like, that's how I preach. I'm like, oh God, help me. You know, like, that's what the church needs, a demonstration of Spirit and power. So, beloved, you need to pray for me. You know, like, if that's the standard, I need help, you know, like, because it's not about the preacher. You know, Paul's saying, the Holy Spirit was in me. It was showing who he was. And he was powerful. So that your faith wouldn't rest on these wise words, these things that sound good, but it would rest on the power of God. Is that awesome? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, this good news about Jesus, because it's the power of God unto salvation. See, this is a supernatural kingdom. Our salvation is supernatural. It's all about the power of God, how he broke death and sin and is victorious over all things. So our faith isn't on like, oh, I think I got it figured out. No, 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 no. Our faith is on Jesus is powerful. Look at what he's done. Man, I wish I could have seen Paul preach. Whew. Maybe one day. I don't know how that works in heaven, but wouldn't that be cool? So the message for the church is power. Churches that don't move in power will be irrelevant to the next generation. Beloved, are you up for this? You know, truth be told, like, these aren't new things to me. Yeah, power, okay. We need power. But there's deeper waters. And these are things that God has to do. Not just in me and us. In us, because we are the church. We hold the message, which is the hope for the whole world. Do you remember Jesus says, it's good that I'm leaving? Which always makes me laugh. Jesus, before he left, Jesus, the Son of God, before he ascended into heaven, he said, it's good that I'm leaving. Why? Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He goes inside the believer and gives them power to do the things that he's calling them to do. So Jesus is like, I'm so glad I'm leaving. So that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, because you are going to be witnesses of who Jesus is in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So God's great plan, coming down from heaven, becoming a man, saving the whole world, was so that he would go back up into heaven to sit at the right hand of God, to make intercession for us, send us the Holy Spirit so that we would do the work. Jesus says, you're going to do greater things than I did. And we laugh. You're saying, you're kidding me. Right? We're going to do greater things than Jesus? Yeah, because you have the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive power. This is Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. But you have to receive this. Like, we must know this. Not just here, but here, that this is real. This isn't anything to mess around with. Jesus is the way to the Father. That's our first step. It's about salvation. But as soon as he ushers us through, there's this whole world that he is unlocking for us. This calling, like, beloved, so many people just spin with purposelessness. And we have purpose. We have calling. We're the people of God. We are sent by God to demonstrate his love and his hope to this whole world. We are his witnesses. So this isn't about knowing the right things to say. This is about the Holy Spirit will give you power to be his witnesses. And God is going to make his appeal through you. Not because you're special, but the Holy Spirit is in you and will give you power. That's crazy. This is where we say God's ways are not our ways. I've joked about this before, but I look at you and I would not trust the message of hope to the whole world with you. I think that's stupid. Yet God, in his infinite wisdom, you know, I think we talked about that last week. You're God's first choice. It's incredible. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. See, this power is in you. It's not that you're powerful, but it's because of what Jesus has done. He sent you the Holy Spirit. It's in you. It's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 12. This is Paul. He's struggling. He has this thorn in his side. We don't quite know what it is, but something was bothering him. He's like, God, get rid of this. I don't know if it's a person. It was a physical ailment. He's like, I can't do this. And God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfect in weakness. In essence, he's saying, my power is made known when it's not about you. When you know that you have nothing to bring to the table, that's when my power is made perfect. So Paul says, I'm going to boast in my weakness. I'm glad that I'm weak. Why? So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. So, beloved, do you know how we walk in power? When it's not about you. As soon as you take, you're like, hey, look at me. Like, Jesus doesn't walk with that. It's all about Jesus. Unbelievable that the power of Christ may dwell on me. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Beloved, this is one of these things that we can know here, but we need to know it here, that God is in you. That's where the temple is. See, in the Old Testament, there is a physical temple. But when Jesus died on the cross, he did away with all of that. And his temple is now where? In the hearts of his people. That's his temple. That's where the glory of God is. And do you know it says the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You will receive power. It's incredible. Beloved, you need to know that we don't need to wait for a super Christian to do the work of God. His answer is you. Not by yourself, but God's power at work in you and through you. Power. Beloved, as the people of God, if we are walking with him, do you know what it will be? A demonstration of power. We shouldn't be bored as Christians. You know, this is deep stuff. Man, what an adventure. You won't need to watch TV ever again because you'll be living it, right? Yeah. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Unbelievable. In the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the power of God through the person of the Holy Spirit is in you to do the work of God. Not just to have fuzzy feelings. See, being the church is not about gathering on Sunday. Oh, it's part of it. We've got to gather together. We have to gather together because we have to together look up at Jesus, encourage ourselves, focus again so that we can go out and do the call of God, right? We gather and we scatter. We are sent all over the place. We're this small little church, but we have ministries all over the place. Going with the power of God, Christ in us. The hope of glory to do the mission of God. And we receive his power. We walk in power. Not as wimpy people. Oh, it's only me. Everyone else doesn't believe in you. I feel like I'm the... No, power. We're God's people. God's with you. Isn't that awesome? We have nothing to fear. So be strong and courageous. Again and again in the Old Testament. That's the word. Why? Because as soon as we start thinking, we're like, there's no way I can do that. And if God was talking to you, say like, I know. Be strong and courageous. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's not about buck up and go. It's saying, buck up, I'm with you. You need to know this. I'm with you. That's where your power comes from. That's why you don't have to be afraid. That's why you can be a strong and effective witness for Jesus Christ. Because he's with you. His power is alive in you. Isn't that awesome? He's given us power to do his work. But he's also given us power over the enemy. See, this is a spiritual kingdom. Ephesians 6 says, this is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Powerful. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. See, this is a spiritual kingdom, and there really is warfare. There's battle between the forces of heaven and hell. Like, there's good and evil. Like, these are real, and we're caught in the middle. And Paul's saying, be strong. Get your power on. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This isn't about wrestling with people, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Do you know what I hope for our church? Is that we would know that we are God's army. You know, we aren't bench warmers. We're God's army. God's first choice. Filled with power to do the work of God. Amazing. 2 Corinthians 10 says, though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Power. Nothing to mess around with, but ours in Christ. Isaiah 54, speaking of this also, says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, but every tongue that rises against you in judgment will be silenced. Then it says, this is the heritage of the servants of God. That's ours. No weapon that is formed against us will prosper, but every tongue that rises against us in judgment will be condemned. It will be shut down. This is our heritage. Because we're part of his family, this is how we live. Victorious. That's why we're worshiping at the end of time. Worthy is the Lamb. Unbelievable. God is so good. So, beloved, there's so much power. I feel like as we tinkle into this a little bit, like, it's just like, where do you even go? Like, you need to know, as soon as you start to see power, like, it's all over the place in this scripture. It's all about power. In the Old Testament, it was a shadow of things to come in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, you see again and again a display of power, that God is the God over all gods. In Egypt, when the people of God were in slavery, it was all about God showing himself the God over all gods. Yeah, the Egyptians had a lot of gods that had power, but not compared to our God. Again and again and again, we're the people of God. And the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you to do the mission of God. But even more than that, I mean, the mission of God has to do with you as well. That you would be formed and shaped into the image of Christ. That's power, right? The mess that you are, God needs to be powerful in your life to break the back of sin. These things that we are a slave to, that God's power would be made manifest, that we'd be set free. And beloved, that's why Jesus came. I came to loose the bounds, loose the chains of the captive. That we wouldn't be free from these things. Free from sin, free from death. That we'd have power to love, power to serve, power to do the things God's calling us to do. So when God's saying do something, do you know what? He's going to give you power to do it. All to the glory of God. It's unbelievable. Miguel and Joel, will you come up? I want to, as a church, invite you on a journey. Yeah, it's kind of weird to say this, but as we've talked about this, you get it. I want to invite you on a journey where we discover God's power. Not like, ooh, wow, that's awesome, but to do the work of God and be changed to be like Christ. The power of God. Unto salvation. I feel like God takes us again and again and again back to salvation. How much Jesus won on the cross for us. See, Jesus, when he died on the cross, like, he broke the back of sin and death. We're no longer slaves. We've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. So sin no longer has any hold on us. We're free. We're free. We're going to have communion together right now. And worship team's just going to play a little bit. I want you to just kind of sit on this a little bit. And I want you to think about what Jesus won on the cross. And beloved, this is for Christians. These are for people who have given their lives to Jesus. As we remember the body of Jesus and his blood that was shed for us, like, this is no casual thing. This is about the power of God, the payment that was sufficient to pay for our sins. So let's just have a moment. Let's think on the Lord. Let's be thankful for his sacrifice for this. Let's let Jesus wash the dirt off our feet as we confess our sins to him. So I want you to just focus on Jesus a little bit, and then we'll take this together.